Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. This week we've been ministering on the subject of trees. And my question to you, the listening audience, is which tree do you choose? I hope your choice is the tree of life, to follow after that which is good. And one day we will actually taste of the fruit, literally be able to eat of the tree of life, which is going to be before the throne of God and before the temple of the Lord. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful experience, but we can choose now. But many have chosen, as Adam and Eve, they have eaten of the tree of sin, if you will, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God is calling His people to come out from among them, come out from the sinners, come out from the hypocrites, come out from those who, you might even be attending church, and I've heard testimonies that people have gone to church and yet the lifestyles they're living are totally in contradiction to the Word of God. In fact, I heard something just recently. A brother's not even saved and he's going to church. He's fulfilling some kind of religious function, but he's never really confessed Jesus. Beloved, such things ought not to be. God is dealing, and He may even deal severely with some, because only God knows the individual heart. He knows the ways and the times and opportunities that person has had to make a true commitment. Beloved, there's a remnant. There's always been a remnant. But it is those who love the Lord with all of their heart that are going to make up the bride of Christ. And to make a wrong choice when God has commanded something, it brings about the most serious results. We don't want to be at the tree of complacency or the tree of convenience. Just as Zacchaeus, when he climbed that tree because it was convenient, he could see Jesus, he had to come down out of that tree, and he made a promise. He said, whatever I've taken unlawfully, I'll restore. He had an experience with the Lord. That's what God is wanting from us, a real experience with Him, His holiness, His majesty. The people of Israel trusted God to bring them out of Egypt, but they failed to trust God to bring them into Canaan, all of that entire generation. In fact, we see in Deuteronomy, the first chapter, verses 19 through 24, that they made a fatal choice, the children of Israel, and which condemned them to wander 40 years in the wilderness and a whole generation to a second-class life and ultimate death. And God has some believers listening today that are at your Cadis Barnea, if you will, a place where a decision is made that leaves its mark on the rest of one's life. Well, let's take a look at how Israel was directed to Cadis Barnea. We're going to that first chapter of Deuteronomy, and let me start reading. Well, let me start reading at verse 19. Moses recounting what happened, he said, "When we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea." And he says in verse 21, "Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, be discouraged." And what they did is they asked, "Look, can we send out spies?" And they went ahead and did that. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, it says, brought it down unto us and brought a word again and said, "It is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us." Notwithstanding, Ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. We see how Israel was directed at Kadesh Barnea. In verse 30, he says, "The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went, until ye came unto this place." And so we see God's conditions for salvation, that he himself, he fought for them in Egypt. He delivered them with mighty signs and wonders. The 10 plagues that came upon the Egyptians did not touch them. But in order to continue with that salvation, he says, look what I did all these years in the wilderness. I carried you as a man does his son. We see such a beautiful picture of God's faithfulness. And we see what Israel discovered at Kadesh Barnea in verses 23 to 25. It says, in verse 25, they took of the fruit of the land in their hands. They brought it down unto us and brought a word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. They had fruit, as indicated in verse 25. And in verse 27, it says, ye murmured in your tents because the Lord hated us. They were complaining. They were maligning everything that God had done for them. And in verse 28, there's the foe they're talking about. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims, or giants, there. And verse 29 says, I said to you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. It required faith. Did they respond in faith? No. What we see in verse 26, they rebelled. There was a refusal. And there was a rebellion. They would not. And then when God gave his judgment, we see later in the 43rd verse where God decrees, he says that that second generation would go in to possess the land. In verse 40, the command was, turn you, take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then ye answered and said, they acknowledge, oh, we've sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all the Lord our God has commanded us. And when ye had girded on every man his weapons of war, ye were ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I'm not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. Of course, they wouldn't do that. So I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously, or willfully, up unto the hill. And the Amorite, which dwelt in that mountain, came out against you, and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And ye returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So ye abode in Kadesh many days, according to the days that ye abode there. Beloved, Israel had no excuse at Kadesh Barnea. They had seen God move in their behalf multitudes of times. God sent the plagues on Egypt. He instituted the Passover, wherein death was sent on Egypt. But if they believed everyone who was inside and the blood had been applied to the lintels, they were saved. The angel of death did not come nigh them. And the cloud of God's presence, remember that, or the pillar of fire that led them forth, the song of Moses, their experiences at Merah and Elim, the lesson of the struck rock, and the outpoured water, the provision of the manna, the victory over Amalek, the giving of the law, the building of the tabernacle. They had seen all of these things, and all these things God did in their behalf. You know, they should have been ready for the giants. God always prepares us for battles ahead if we will listen and heed what he is saying. But beloved, many have a choice today. Are they going to go on and serve God, or are they going to rebel? Are they going to be double-minded in unbelief? James says that don't think that that man shall receive anything of the Lord. God is either true, he means what he says what he means, or he is a liar, and there is no untruth in our God. So, beloved, it's a time to make a choice, to come on over to the side of the Lord, to hear the good report of Joshua and Caleb, whatever the giants are in your own personal life or in the Canaan that lies before you. We need to respond as they did. We're well able to take the land. Father, I just pray for everyone who's in that valley of decision. I pray, Lord, that the fear of the Lord will convict their heart and they will wholeheartedly surrender to you. They will be willing to walk in your ways, and they will taste and see that the Lord is good and that you're a faithful God, a merciful God, to forgive our transgressions and to abundantly give the grace that we need to walk the life that is before us. Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, it's been a sobering message the Lord has allowed me to preach, but I believe that many needed to hear the word of the Lord from the word that I shared with you. But as I always do, I close with an invitation for you to write and share your prayer needs. God is doing a mighty work, and there are wonderful testimonies coming into answered prayer. And there is a real ministry in that ministry of correspondence that God has raised up so many years ago. And I'd like to share a letter from a brother writing from Fresno, California. And he writes, "Dear Sister Judith, I cannot begin to tell you how your letters have spoken to my heart and to my needs. I have taken in every word, and through you, the Lord is bringing me to a place that I have desired. He's filling me with truth and understanding. Your ministry is having a profound effect on my life." Then he goes on to name specific letters, in which I quoted certain scripture. He said that particular letter had amazing prophecy, and he meditates on these, on the letters that I send. And he just says in closing, "Please allow me to say how blessed I am that God has allowed me to come into your presence. I sense the compassion in your letters, and it is healing to me. Thanks for being who you are in my life and in Christ." So as I close, I give you an invitation to write and share your prayer needs. The announcer will give our contact information. If you send an email, I always acknowledge. But if you will share your mailing address, it is through the Ministry of Correspondence that I respond and minister whatever God gives. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.